so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
And I want to talk to you this morning about 2020 vision. This is the year 2020, and I believe that God has spoke something into my spirit that if you and I will get 2020 vision, then we're going to be able to go somewhere in Him. Aren't you tired of going around the same old mountain? You know, I would go visit my dad and his wife, and my dad was 89 when he passed away, but around when he was 85 or 87, and his wife was 3 or 4 years younger than him, my wife and I would go to their house and we would wind up cleaning because of the fact that the house was a little dirty. And then I come to realize it's not that they were dirty, they just couldn't see it. Now, some of you in your 20s, you can't say that. I just can't see it. I don't have my glasses. My house is a wreck and I don't even see it. But it wasn't a wreck. It was just the little things. You know what I'm talking about? Dust on the everywhere and stuff here and there. And they did the best they could, but they were hindered because of their vision. And some of us are living for Jesus, and we've got everybody telling us that you should be better off than where you are, and you should be cleaner than what you are, but some of us aren't there because we don't have 2020 vision. And some of the things that you think you say, I wear contacts, but I also am at that age that I wear cheaters. So I wear contacts and cheaters. And then somebody, they told me, well, Pastor, you can get these, one is a up close and the other one is far away. That gives me a headache. I was confused at the termite and the yo-yo, man. I don't want that. So I would just rather throw on some pair of glasses, right? But whatever it takes for me to be able to see clearly is what I want to do in 2020 so that I can have what God said I can have. I can be who God said I can be, and I can do what God said I can do. That I don't want to go around the same mountain that I went in 2019 because I lack vision in my life. I want you to go with me. We're going to go to two different passages of Scripture. I want you to write another one down. They're very familiar passages. The first one is 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Now, what is, Pastor, for, you know, some people go, Pastor, why do you explain this stuff? Because some people who are not church don't know stuff. And we just expect them to know the colloquialisms, but yet I'm going to try to help people, all right? Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about me. The ESV, that means the English Standard Version. That's the version I'm reading from. Well, Pastor, my daddy always taught me the King James Version. Now, I know that's the one that Jesus used. But just, it's all good. He says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away. Now think about that. So that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own. Come on. Your own stability. So that you're not carried away, so that you lose your own stability. Verse 18 says, but grow in the grace. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Now look at what he says. He said, don't be carried away because of the error of lawless people. But then he goes, grow in the grace, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so many people make a decision to serve Christ and stop right there. But he wants you to grow in grace and knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. How do I do that, Pastor? Well, you do that by coming to church. You do that by your own personal Bible study. You do that by getting into small groups and growing in your faith. Can I tell you that if you're going to grow, you're going to need people around you. If you're going to have stability in your life, you're going to need some people around you. And then you don't have to turn. Well, you can turn there, but I won't wait for you. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, reading from the New American Standard Bible. Pastor, why do you use different ones? I just like the way it's written. So here's what it says. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. But happy is he who keeps the law. I like what one version said. It said, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint and run wild. When you don't, see, vision is like the banks of a river. They keep the river flowing, but they keep it contained. And so many people are trying to live their life like a shotgun, which is just scattered, instead of a rifle and hitting the mark. Now, a shotgun covers more area as the target, but a rifle can go further and hit the target. Because see, vision is the bridge between the present and the future. Thank you, musicians. I got one more verse of scripture, but that's all right. I can do it without music. Vision is the bridge between the present and the future. And without it, we perish or go unrestrained. As the New American Standard puts it, vision gives pain a purpose. I want you to hear that. Vision gives pain a purpose. And if I'm going to have pain, I might as well have purpose in my pain. I don't want pain just for the sake of having pain. If I'm going to cry, I want to cry getting better. And if I'm going to have pain, I want to have pain in my pursuit of excellence or my pursuit of being better than where I am right now. Those without vision spend their lives taking the path of least resistance as they try to avoid discomfort. Did you hear that? They try to avoid discomfort and they take the paths of least resistance. Now, in the book of Habakkuk, that's in the Old Testament, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, you're reading from the Contemporary English Version. Here's what it says. Then the Lord told me, I will give you my message in the form of a vision. I will give you my message in the form of a vision. Write it clearly enough to read it at a glance. At the time I have decided, the Lord talking, when I choose, my words will come true. You can trust what I say about the future. It may take a long time, but keep waiting on it. But keep waiting. Why? It will happen. My God, somebody hear me. The things that God has spoke to you, the visions that God has given you, it will happen. It doesn't matter what the devil said. It doesn't matter what the circumstances says. It will happen because God said it. Hallelujah to God. Now let me give you a couple of quotes. I love these couple of quotes here. The first one, I don't have it on the slide. The next one I do, Ryan. Here's what Clady Keith says. He says, a knife cuts because it has a narrow focus. My God, did I preach. A knife cuts because it has a narrow focus. I have a huge sword in my office, but I would have to bludgeon you to death to be able to really use it, because there's no edge on it. And some of us are trying to bludgeon our vision into fruition, and because of where focus is too broad, it needs to come in. And I love what P.K. Barnard said. He said, a man without a vision is a man without a future. And a man without a future will always return to his past. Oh, come on, somebody, hear me. We got the sanctuary in the house. Listen to me, sanctuary. I think that's Mike and his wife. Good to see you in the house of, today. A man without a vision is a man without a future, and a man without a future will always return to his past. That's why the devil wants you to stop you from having a vision of your future. Now listen, I don't have this written down, but you will never leave where you are until you envision a place you would rather be. And I see myself better than where I am today. I see myself a better husband, a better father, a better friend, a better Christian, a better husband, a better pastor than I am today. So I'm going to envision myself beyond where I am, because if I don't, I will revert back to my default, and my default is sin. My default is flesh. My default is what I want, but I serve a God who is changing me day by day. See, here's the difference, man. Sacrifice separates the small from the great. Sacrifice. Michael Jordan said heart. But I believe that a sacrifice separates the small from the great. Now let me talk to you. And again, I'm probably not going to finish, but it's all right. Let me talk to you about 2020 vision. 2020 vision is a term used to express normal visual acuity, that the clarity or sharpness of vision, measured at a distance of 20 feet. If you have 20/20 vision, you can see clearly at 20 feet what should normally be seen at that distance. If you have 20/100 vision, it means that you must be as close as 20 feet to see what other folks can see from 100 feet. So having 20/20 vision does not necessarily mean that you have perfect vision. I know folks who have 20/10 vision. I know folks who have 20/7500 vision. They just blind. But 20/20 vision only indicates the sharpness and the clarity of vision at that distance. Other important skills, and I'm going to get into these in the next in the next few weeks. The other has to deal with peripheral awareness or depth perception, eye coordination, focusing ability, color vision contribute to the overall visual ability. Some people can see well at a distance. I know some of them people. But are unable to see things near. Then the condition, this condition can be called, I'm going to try to say it, hyperorpia, which is farsighted, or prebiopia, loss of focusing ability. Others can see that are up close but cannot see those things that are far away. This condition is myopia, which means nearsighted. Now, when I was 29, just like, you know, 3 weeks ago, when I was 29, I went to the eye doctor because I was having these painful headaches. And as I was having these headaches, if I could just close my eyes for about 10 minutes, not go to sleep, just close them for about 10 minutes, it seemed like when I awakened, opened up back my eyes, I was okay. I would be good for a little while. And it got to the point that I would have to do this once or twice a day because of my headaches. And when I went to the doctor said, well, he said, you know, you're probably 29. I go, yeah, I am. It's probably on your chart too, Joker. But anyway, he said, you're probably 29. And he began to tell me, and he goes, the muscles of your eyes get so tired of straining because you have a tremendous amount of concentration. And because of the concentration and the muscles in your eye, they're just gotten to where they're saying, I'm tired, I can't do it. My God, somebody needs to hear me. Because you've been straining at your vision for so long, trying to see it happen, trying to make it happen. And you've been doing it for so long, you're just getting tired. So we determined, me and the doctor, that my pain was because my vision was not right. So many in here today, the pain that you are experiencing is because your vision is not clear and it is not focused. We don't go to the doctor, especially us men, we don't go to the doctor because of pain. We don't want to hear what they got to say about our pain. So we just deal with it. Come on, somebody. We do extraordinary things to avoid pain. But avoidance is not the correct response to our pain. Sucking it up is not the correct response to your pain. However, pain is a part of growth and moving forward. We call it growing pains. And if you're going to grow individually or whatever your vision or your dream is, there is going to be some pain involved. And if you want 2020 vision this year, you must learn some things about pain. And here's what I want to deal with today is pain. All right? Point number one is this. A vision of growth multiplies and intensifies our pain. Now, if you want the notes that you're going to see on the screens today, they're in YouVersion, Y-O-U version. You go to events, do a Crystal River Church of God, and you should be able to find those notes that are be on the screen today. So a vision of growth multiplies and intensifies our pain. See, here's what the good thing is, that God never wastes our pain. I want you to hear that. God never wastes our pain. Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. I might not. But God never wastes your pain. God wants to use your pain. God wants to use what you've been through to look to somebody else and say, if I did it for them, I'll do it for you. If I brought them through, if they came through, then the same God that they serve is the same God that you serve. And if they can make it, you can make it. Here are a few things I've learned about pain. One is this. Pain is not the enemy. Pain is not the enemy, but yet it is an indicator that an enemy of some kind exists. I just want to live a pain-free life. Well, a pain is an indicator. If you didn't know pain, when you put your hand on a hot plate, it would wind up burning your hand instead of when you feel the heat, you jerk it off. I know a man who didn't have any feeling in his feet, and he continued to was driving, and a blister came up on his foot because he didn't realize that the exhaust was leaking and burned his foot. Infection came in and eventually had to have it amputated. Pain would have said, hey, that's hot. Right? Pain is not the enemy. It's just the fact that one exists. You see, the longer I avoid a problem, the bigger it generally becomes. Now, I'm not saying to jump into water every time there is a pain or a problem or an issue. Because if I summon the courage to endure small amounts of pain and do what is right early. See, we're in the middle of this fast. For those of you who are fasting, I hope you're doing well. And I don't always eat breakfast, but when I'm fasting, I wake up hungry. But what I understand that if I endure small amounts of pain or discomfort and do what's right early, I will avoid larger doses of pain later. See, we here in America love the layaway program. We love the credit card. I will have it now and pay later. That's what we enjoy. Because we don't think about the consequences of later. Charge it. But every month, that charge comes around. Pain is part of progress. If you're going to do anything for God, if you're going to do anything in your family, pain is a part of the process. Anything that grows experiences some pain. Did you hear that? Anything that grows experiences some pain. If I avoid all pain, then I'm avoiding growing. If I avoid, even in my marriage, in my finances, in my life, in my education, in my knowledge, in my church, no matter where I'm at, if I avoid all pain, then I avoid growing. See, listen to me. Often, I want you to get this, often the difference between where I am and where God wants me to be is the pain I'm unwilling to endure. Whew. Y'all just hang on a minute. My God, that's good. Woo! I've had to deal with this. Pastor, you know, I want to be thin. I'm unwilling to go through the pain of sugar withdrawals. You understand what I'm talking about? Pastor, I want to be financially okay, but I'm unwilling to quit spending $2.74 every day of my life on Dunkin' Donut coffee. All right, let's talk about it. Well, Pastor, no, let's talk about it. I ain't going to really talk too long about it. I just want you to know, I'm trying to get this point across that where I am and where God wants me to be is the pain that I'm unwilling to endure. That's the difference. Doing what is right, no matter how difficult, it is a rare trait to find in people. Most of us choose easy, but we must choose right over easy. Did you hear that? We must choose right over easy. Why? Because God is faithful. God is faithful. Even when life is hard, God is always working for our good. When I can't see Him working, I know that He's working. Pain teaches us to depend on God. It purifies our motive. We're talking about pain. It keeps me humble. It keeps me humble and moves us to pray. I promise you, I pray more because of pain. That should be right. I wish I could tell you that if I never experienced any discomfort, I would have the same prayer life that I do now. But I'm not going to lie to you. You can go to another church for that. I'm just being real, right? I'm trying to tell you, man, that I pray more because of pain that I go through. You know, when I'm not going through anything, Lord, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If the preacher should quit before I wake, for goodness sake, give me a shake. You know, but man, when I'm going through some pain, I'll be like, oh, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Ah. Right? I mean, man, we're calling out to God. When your children get, oh, Jesus, God, get out my prayer warriors going. But when everything's good, oh, Lord, just touch them, God. Lord, just bless me and my three. You know, I mean, that's the way it goes, man. But pain teaches us to pray, moves us to pray. Because of what God has done in me, He now can do more through me. All right, point number two is this. Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. Not everything that you face can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. But Pastor, I don't want to. I didn't ask you what you wanted. Because here's what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to frustrate you. The devil wants to frustrate you, harass you, and wear you out. Some of y'all are like, woo, he's doing a good job. Because it ain't but the 12th day of January and I'm already wore out. Right? That's what the devil wants to do. Listen to this. Write it down. I'll be gone by the time you get there. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. He shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. That's what he wants to do. He wants to wear you out. You know why? He wants to wear you out, wear you down, because your most valuable resource is your heart. A heart for the things that God's called you to do. A heart for people. A heart for your family, a heart for your spouse, a heart for your children, a heart for your ministry. The most valuable resource is your heart. The greatest risk on your heart is becoming so tired, so discouraged, so angry that your soul begins to shrivel up. Then you're running on empty and you're running blind. See, the problem is when we're not replenishing our hearts with inspiration, when we're not replenishing our heart with encouragement, when we're not replenishing our hearts with insight, we have to strain just to make it through the day. Pastor, you don't ever go through those, do you? No, yes I do. That's why I have to work on continuing to be inspired. That's why I have to continually to work on insight. That's why I have to continually to work on God encouraging me and using other things and people to encourage me. Am I talking to anybody? Because if we're straining to make it through, we can be sure that the people who depend on us are struggling also. Well, that's why I don't want nobody depending on me. Too bad. You were born. And if you're born, somebody is depending on you. If you were born, somebody is depending on you. When we strain for a dry season, for a long season, the desert can often expand to the people around us and who depend on us. My God, I'm gonna sit down and listen to this when I get done. In personal development. Well, Pastor, is that, yeah. See, in Christendom, yes, you should, Christendom should make you a better person and make you a better whatever. Because God always makes better whatever He's added to. It's like bacon. Everything is better with bacon. Everything is better with God. Come on, somebody. Right? Your efforts to grow, I hate to tell you this, your efforts to grow are going to create a lot of problems. I know, Pastor. I don't want to make nobody upset. I don't want the devil to be upset. I just want to kind of sit here and coast through and just barely make it to heaven. Get me a little cabin over in glory. Blah, 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 blah. Can I tell you, though, I would rather have the problems of growth than the problems of stagnation. Because when water is stagnant, stuff starts to grow. It is not good for anybody. I would rather have the problems of growth. Come on, somebody. See, it's a principle of life that pain comes before promotion. David experiences illustrate this for us in several different ways. David had to fight a lion and a bear to prepare him for Goliath. You're wondering why you're fighting what you're fighting. It might be because God's getting you ready for a bigger battle and a bigger victory. But if you will be faithful over the little, God will make you ruler over the large. David had to kill Goliath before he was ever invited into the palace. Come on, somebody. He had to dodge Saul's spear and run for his life before he was ever king himself. David had to fight a civil war to unite the kingdom. Why do you think you should be better? If God gave Jesus a crown of thorns, why do you think you'll get a crown of roses? Woo! You better preach, preacher, I'm trying. My Lord Jesus. Listen, people often grow with the fertilizer of pain. That's how most of us grow. Is we have to go through something. Because most of us don't change because we see the light. Most of us change because we feel the heat. Spiritual vitality begins with a renewed focus on Christ Himself. In 2020, that's why we're doing this fast. I want a renewed focus on Christ for myself and for our church. Yes, listen closely. Yes, you will pay a price when you carve out time to regularly replenish your soul with God. However, if you don't, you'll pay a higher price later. Point number three. Get ready. Don't start, but get ready. Point number three. To live, something has to die. To live, something has to die. If I'm going to have growth in a garden, there's some weeds that have to die. If my garden's going to be healthy, there's some things that got to die. Now, I don't have a green thumb, but I know that. I tell everybody there are different plants that are, they're all are in different stages of dying at my house. There's a few that my wife has had on life support for quite some time. And I go out and talk to them. You know, you're supposed to talk to plants and make them better. I go out just to make them feel better. I know you're dying, buddy. But you lasted longer than the last one. Try to encourage. That's my job. Encourage. But my wife's got a few. She's been lasting for a few years now. So she's getting better. She'll say, baby, could you go out and water the plant? They ain't my plant. Why should I water them? And then I go, yes, ma'am, I'll go on out there. Yeah, something has to die in order for something to live. What needs to die in your life in 2020 in order for you to live a vibrant life of Christ? What needs to die? In order to give birth, a mother has to endure the suffering of the birth process. Now, if you wasn't here Wednesday night, go back and rewatch it or look at it or listen to it. That's called Honey, I'm Pregnant. I preached a message on it. Before the resurrection was the pain of the cross. And before God promotes us, He takes us through the pain of to purify our hearts, to deepen our dependence on Him, and to impart spiritual wisdom. I know I have gained wisdom because of some of the junk that I've been through. I might not can tell you every lesson that I've learned in a book, but I can tell you every lesson I've learned in the process, in life. Listen, church, before God promotes me to the next level, I am already walking in that higher level anointing and authority, but without the position and the title. Before He anoints you to the next level, you start walking in that level before you ever get the title or the position. See, I was pastor long before I became a pastor. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. I had the position and without the title. Everybody's looking for a title. But God, Jesus, is not in the titles. He's in the towels. If you want to be the greatest, who do you serve? Come on, somebody. I have the anointing first, but then comes a series of challenges, challenging tests meant to beat the flesh out of me so I don't explode with pride when I get to the next level. Woo! My God. I'm going to let that just sink in for a minute. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but you know who you are. How many needs just to beat the flesh beat out of you?
Pastor, I feel like I'm there. I feel like I can't go no more.
God knows what you can take. God knows what you can stand. And God also knows how hard-headed you are. Come on, preacher. Wait a minute. Come on. Look at Jonah. Jonah was in the well for 3 days and 3 nights, and then he began to pray. Not me, Joker. As soon as I seen that well, oh, Jesus, help me, Jesus. Oh, God, Jesus, help me. Man, I'd have been swimming with everything I had and praying. Lord Jesus, I'd have been speaking in tongues. I'd have been doing the rosary. Whatever worked, I'd be doing it. Whatever, Lord, help me, Jesus. But here's what I know. Some of the tests that you and I have been through is not for your destruction, but it is there to beat the flesh out of you, because if you got to where God is trying to take you with that still in you, you wouldn't be the person that God's called you to be. The transition that has to take place, it takes place internally before it happens externally. Did you hear that? It has to happen internally before it happens externally. God, do the work in me so it will come out on the outside. Unless you are prepared. I don't know. I got part of this. Unless you are prepared to give up something valuable, you will never be able to truly change, because you will be forever in the control of things you can't give up. Man, if this mic wasn't $400, I'd just drop the mic and just walk off the stage. What are you unwilling to give up? Oh, I ain't willing to give up that. No, God won't expect that of me. Think about Abraham when he took Isaac, his only true heir, and took him up on Mount Horeb. and was going to offer him there because God said to. Now, wait a minute, preacher. God had said do that? Yeah, he just did it as a test to see if he would obey. And he had him on the altar with the knife raised. And there was a rustle. Or there was the angel of the Lord said, don't do it. I promise you, Isaiah probably heard it, or Isaac probably heard it first. Hey, dad. I think I hear something, bro. Now that teaches you something about child rearing. That Isaac willingly got on the altar. Because think about it. At this point in time, Abraham was over 100 years old. I believe Isaac could have took him. I know when my dad was 89, I believe I could take him, man. I wouldn't have tried it before he was 85. But 89, I could take him. All right, let me get back. See, listen. Oh, Jesus, my God. I probably need to quit, but I'm going to finish this part. I'm a firm believer that faith, for all of you super hyper faith folks, that faith is not a substitute for wisdom. And hope is not a strategy. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, I'm going to hope. No. Hope is not a strategy. God's going to give you a strategy. Realize that in the same way that favor does not exempt you from pain, faith doesn't exempt you from pain or fear. I'm telling you about, I about come unglued this past week when I learned this. Do you know that passion literally means pain? Why? Because here's what it is. Passion is about suffering for what you love. When you're passionate about something, you sacrifice. You give up. You sacrifice. When you have children, you sacrifice sleep. You sacrifice quietness. You sacrifice to make a living in order for them to have a life. This is my last thing. Liminal space. Let me talk to you about it because some of you are there. Liminal space is a concept of theology and psychology. Liminal space. Liminal space, it is the intermediate. It is the in-between. It is the transitional state where you cannot go back to where you were. You cannot go back to where you were. Why? Because a proverbial, invisible threshold has been crossed. I don't know what God's doing, but I can't go back to where I used to be. Listen, don't be offended. My butt don't fit a bar stool anymore at the bar. A threshold has been crossed. A threshold has been crossed. I can't go back to where I once was. And you have yet to arrive where you're going because it is not yet available to you. It is that liminal space. It is that space where David had left the sheep. Where David had left the service of Saul, he was already anointed to be king, but he wasn't king yet because the king had not vacated the throne. So he was caught in betwixt where he used to be and where he is supposed to be. And essentially, it is the hallway between the past and the future. Woo! My God, somebody hear me. And you, I don't know what to do because I'm in between the past and the future. Pastor, what do I do? You better learn how to dance in the hallway. You better learn how to praise God in the hallway. That I'll praise God now for what He's about to do. I'll praise God for what He did do, but I'm going to praise Him for what He's about to do because I can't just sit here like a bump on a pickle. I know that God's taking me somewhere. I know that God is taking me somewhere, so I'm going to worship God right in the midst of where I am, and I will praise You till my destiny is opened up to me. Hey! Could I have about 100 people to jump up on your feet and begin to worship? In life, there is pain. You decide whether that pain is because you're advancing or because you're standing still. You decide. There is pain to birth. There is pain to build. And there is pain to grow. Kira la borosa. I think about my own life. And I remember when one of my closest friends decided he couldn't go where God was taking me. Did you hear me? I couldn't get uppity because I've been through too much pain. I couldn't look down my nose because I know where God brought me from. I know where God has taken me. I couldn't get upset because he couldn't go where God was taking me. So the pain to grow. Doesn't mean I don't love you. I just can't stay where you decided to stay. Doesn't mean I don't respect you. It just means that I can't forfeit what God has called me to just because you're unwilling to pay the price to get there. My Lord! There is pain to birth. There's pain to build. And there's pain to grow. If you're in this place today, maybe you feel like, Pastor, I'm in the hallway. Come on, join me. Come on, join me. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, my vision, I'm not quite there. I don't have the vision that God, that you've talked about. That God hasn't revealed it to me and I want it. Come on, join me. Come on, join me down here. Come on, join me down here. Ha! Yera la borosa. Holy Spirit of God. Maybe you're here today. Now, I give you my word. I won't embarrass you. Everybody, would you do this unless you're moving? Just bow your heads with me. If you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus, man, don't leave it. That's the first thing you need to have for vision. If you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus, I promise I'm not going to embarrass you. But would you just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, I want Jesus in my life. Anybody in this room? Hallelujah, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want the Spirit Life team to come. And I just want you to stand behind those that are up here. I don't want you to shake and bake them. I just want you to stand behind them and just lightly put your hand on their shoulder. Pray over them. Begin to pray. Begin to intercede. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good to see you guys. Come on, church. Don't let it be a spectator. Lift your hand this way to these that are up here.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.